adult audio of Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, digs and eating some almonds here, bud.
Yeah, for a birthday celebration for Adam Carolla.
Mm.
Good times.
I got sent some smoked almonds today.
No.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Laid all them almonds up.
Happy birthday, you're
thank you.
Special.
Nothing better than a smoked almond, yes, Drew?
Yeah, a pie.
Ate some pie today, too. Man, and listen. Okay, wait. Okay,
here we go.
Hold on. I'm going to get angry.
Get the almonds out, will you?
On my birthday.
Come
no.
On. Come on.
No.
Come on.
No.
Come on.
No, because here's the thing, Drew. It doesn't affect your game because you don't play. I got to talk on this goddamn
show.
Let
me eat them then.
Now I got to talk and watch you eat.
Okay.
Rubbing it in my face. Both get paid the same. How dare you? Chris, can you believe we both get paid the same? An outrage.
Chris, how dare you?
Outrageous.
How dare you?
Outrageous.
How long are you going to stay in this room with that kind of attitude?
All right, here's we can't really fire him because he doesn't get paid.
Typical radio strategy.
Let's say a couple of things. Jenny McCarthy was supposed to come in here tonight. Jenny McCarthy went to the studio that was last inhabited by K-Rock, the mother station here, in 1989.
Certainly last inhabited by Loveline.
It's been a while.
About 1994.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's been 10 years.
Yeah.
I've never done the show from that studio.
Right.
So she went to Burbank and...
Rape Bank.
Yeah. Oh, I mean Rape Bank. Yes, because of all the chickenish pedestrian violations, the citations they hand out over there. Yes. Thank you, Drew. Thanks for correcting me.
Of course.
And let me explain. It's like when you change the name of Exposition Boulevard to Martin Luther King Boulevard. At the beginning, when you make the transition, you need a little correcting.
Right.
Exposition. Excuse me, it's Martin Luther King. And right. I'd appreciate it if I ever refer to Burbank is anything but Rape Bank.
Somebody could correct you.
I'd like you to pipe up and do that for me. Like I say, hey, you been to the IKEA over there in Burbank?
Adam, Rape Bank.
Rape Bank.
Yes, yes.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. So, Jenny McCarthy not here, rescheduled. Who cares? Now, let's talk about pie for a second.
Happy birthday.
I got to say this. It's been a while, Drew. And you know my feelings about cake and all these crappy sheet cakes that they give. And it's not redundant to say crappy sheet cakes. The white, lard, frosting, blah, that all you white trashers have on your birthday. When the Ace Man has a birthday, he serves up the pie and the kids go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I was sitting over at Kimmel. They went down to the Apple Pan.
Ooh.
Great place. Banana cream pie. Two banana creams from the Apple. And by the way, you put these things up, it's like picking up a cinder block.
Right.
I mean, it's like you lift this pie box like a five-gallon bucket filled with concrete. It's rich. Then you get the apple pie. Then you get the pecan pie. And here's the problem. And there's another tip. I came up. You don't want to eat too much pie? Get five of the same pies.
Yeah.
Because you get the pecan, the apple, and the banana cream. You got to put your finger in all of them. I went sick. I thought it was going to explode. Then we did the ribs.
Oh, my God.
Dr. Hoggly Woggly.
He went insane.
Oh, the ribs. I believe they're trying to kill me. But excellent, excellent. And again, everybody, forget the cake. That's for the kids. The men, enjoy pie. Just 1,000 times better.
Mm.
Just everyone going nuts, attacking it. And as I've said, don't believe me? And listen. And I don't want to hear the, oh, yeah? Well, have you ever tried the no-flour German triple fudge? Yeah. If we're in France and we're sitting at a sidewalk cafe, yeah, there's some good cake. You don't see it at a party.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Why does everyone come back with me, you know?
Yes, they want to argue about the ultimate cake versus the average
versus the one that gets pushed in front of your puss at the birthday party.
Yes.
Which is the crappy one, which is what 99% of people serve. Yes, there are cakes out there that are enjoyable. I would never say that. It's just you can send somebody to the House of Pies or the Dupars or the corn, even the supermarket, spend $6 on an apple pie and come back with something that's pretty damn edible. as opposed to the cake version of that, which sucks. And it's the frosting, and it's the plastic football players, and the edible roses, and all. And then the notion of all the candles with the blowing. And like I said, okay, 7 years old, make a wish, fine. You got guys in their 30s and early 40s just blowing hepatitis C all over the goddamn thing. And then there's those purists that are like, well, you're 37 years old, that's 37. Think of the strategy of having a guy spitting all, but oftentimes a guy a little sloppy drunk by that point of the party.
And probably IV drug exposure, so hepatitis C, you're right.
He's like, I mean, oyster flying out of his, shooting snot rockets on it. It's like, two of those candles went out with your mucus. Wasn't even the air. All right, then the candles, oh, they've melted all over the cake.
Yeah, yeah.
Now there's more handling. Mm-hmm. Okay, the chick, the same chick that put the 55 candles in there by hand, touching, you know, smearing and smudging, she's got to then gather them all. And there's now there's various people reaching in, grabbing a candle, licking the front.
Right.
How much handling can this go? Can this piece of confection take before it goes into our mouths and kills all of us?
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Yep, good point.
Pie, clean, dignified, no candles. And let me tell you something. With a pie, you don't need any candles. You got your wish. You got your wish. You got pie.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yes, sir.
And when you serve up pie, people line up to get it. That's where they come. They come with the plates.
There's
what's
a little
going
bit
on with the pie?
Messy with the serving stuff.
Can be.
It doesn't serve as well to the multi-hands coming in.
Okay. Touché.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, Drew, and listen, Drew makes a very valid point. And, you know, if I'm going to speak about pie and travel and speak to young people, I'm going
to
be hit.
You have to bring this up.
I'm going to have to handle the tough
questions. Some obnoxious youth will bring this up, no doubt.
This is a very, and Drew, it's a valid point.
Yes.
I would suggest that you take the pie out of the box first.
Always,
don't try to work it from inside the box. It's hard to do. It kicks it up an extra 4 or 5 inches on the edge.
Don't you think, really, if you're going to do proper pie etiquette, somebody should be a pie server.
And
that person should work fast.
Fast pie server,
this business,
yes.
Because that's
people,
why everyone
people
dig in.
Want the pie.
That's
yes.
why people make such a mess, because they're like, oh, I can be them of that.
No,
and
that's
somebody
right.
goes, excuse me, let me cut you. They're trying to cut the person. No,
a pie.
On.
Look, I think a pie knife, the broad kind mm-hmm. that also can cut it and serve it. I think everyone should wear one, you know, on their keychain.
Of course,
or they should have it on their person.
Why? Here, look right here.
Oh, Drew.
That's nice. Huh?
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's got your initials in it. And
you
everything.
Persuaded me a couple years ago.
The point is. The pie, yes, a little messy, but worth the wait. Cake, what happens? Cake the hand out. Pie you go get. Really think about that. Engineer Chris, really think about that concept. It's the difference between cake and pie. Cake, you got some poor broad.
You're selling.
Here you go. Yeah, you go. Oh, yeah, you got a hawk cake. Here's how the cake works. Poor chick. Usually the fat one's got to walk around, hand the stuff out. Here you go. Here's some cake. And now the debate. I'm not having it.
Oh,
well,
come
I'm a. Come on. Yeah, I'm
just a little.
I got a low carb thing going on. Well, I'll just set it down on the arm of the chair you're sitting on. And okay. And then the same chick's got to come back. It's got one finger full of frosting out of it and a cigarette put out on it at the end of the night. Cake? Half eaten, strewn about, all over the party. When you clean up after a big party, a birthday party, and you use cake? Half eaten, half bite, one bite, finger
pie,
full of frosting.
Strewn about the way a group of hyenas would leave carcass strewn about.
That's right. Half eaten plates, blood, bloody stump. Just see a hand clinging to a piece of pie on the floor. Yeah. I mean, it gets attacked. But pie, you don't hand out. People come get it. They line up. They're around that thing. What's going on? They're standing around, a little elbowing. It was my birthday to have to throw an elbow.
I saw it.
Had to throw an elbow to get into that
Kimball
pie.
Kimball caught it, by the way.
People like pushing and shoving. Cake's like, here you go. I'm cool. There's one. Here, pass it down. But you just keep passing it so it comes all the way back to the first person because everyone passed on it.
Pie does not pass.
Pie does not pass. You try to pass the pie. There's a fist fight. First guy you hand it to sets it down, puts his face in it. Then the guy next to him says, hey, what the F? Oh, no. There's no passing of the pie. Only the cake. And the cake makes a full circle and comes right back to where it started.
Well,
all right. So everybody,
nice
please,
birthday discussion.
The best present you could get me is to start serving pie at your parties. And there's nothing in it for me because obviously it's going to drive up the price of pie, Drew. And then I'm going to be buying it from the back alleys. I'm going to be walking around. It's going to be that shady gangbanger type guy in a overcoat, smoking an unfiltered cigarette. You looking for some pie? You looking for some mouth candy? Yeah, what do you got? Peaches in season. Come over to the van. Next thing you know, it's like $75 for something that cost $4 just a few years back.
Black market pie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Drew. I hope you're not kidding.
Hey, buddy.
Betty?
Hey. Adam.
Yeah. Yeah.
How old are you now?
40.
Happy birthday, buddy.
Thanks, buddy.
That's pretty funny, Adam.
Yeah.
What's up, Betty?
Hello?
Hi there.
Hi.
What's up?
My question is, the first time you lose your virginity, do you have to bleed?
No, absolutely not.
No? Because...
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Why?
Me and my boyfriend did it, 2 months ago, and I didn't bleed. Mm-hmm. And now he's doubting if I was a virgin to begin with.
Were you a virgin?
Yes, I was.
Okay, see how possible it is?
Yeah, but the retard boyfriend is questioning her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, how old is this guy?
17.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Was he a virgin?
No.
All right.
What an idiot he is.
I know. I don't like this guy, Betty.
Yeah, neither of us do.
Oh, okay.
And by the way...
You could tell him we talked to us, and we said there's absolutely no reason women must bleed
at the time
they lose their virginity.
Yeah, you know, I always even wonder if it's worth dancing with those guys.
No, it isn't, but I feel like it's a lost cause to talk Betty out of it.
Yeah, because don't those kind of guys just move on to other things?
Oh, sure.
Like, okay, you're a virgin, but you ever made out with a guy? Okay. They just move on to whatever's next.
Mm-hmm.
And Betty, by the way.
Uh-huh.
What the, is that a family name, Betty?
Yeah, my mom's name's Bertha.
Oh, Bertha. Is Betty short?
Well, they're like three generations back.
Wow.
Behind, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Betty eventually will be Brianna.
Oh, yeah.
It's Bertha, Betty.
Yeah,
it's 1962.
The kids' grandkids. Did you use protection?
Of course.
All right. All right, you into this guy?
A little bit.
Doesn't sound like you're that into the guy.
The guy you lost your virginity to, though, at 15. Wow, that's pretty heavy.
Why?
I guess.
Okay. All right. Well, look. You don't have to bleed. What percentage of the time do you bleed, do you think?
I don't know.
You have no idea?
It's a majority, I would think, but not a big majority.
Mm, all right. And I don't know. To me... maybe the guy's just curious, but that's sort of a man at his worst, that did you bleed thing.
That's
sort of a Middle Eastern mentality.
Yeah.
It's really sort of reptilian man.
It's primitive man, absolutely.
I mean, it's really...
It's medieval
going back,
man.
Yeah,
medieval
going
man.
Back several
yes.
hundred, maybe thousand years.
It's the vizier coming in and checking the sheets.
Yeah.
Yes, she has been de-virginized, yes.
Yeah. I get the feeling that certain cultures are hanging around that time.
Cannot judge.
No, but we can't judge. No,
you?
We cannot judge because we're all the same.
How dare you?
And everything's either good or everything's really bad. But there's no
judging.
No difference.
No judging.
No. I mean, if it says that you should mutilate women's genitalia,
cannot judge. How dare you?
So
who are you? Who are you?
I can't.
Who are you?
I can't. Can't because everyone's the same. Carly. But even Drew, even if you mutilate the genitalia of the women, like you know some cultures do. Or beat the women or force them to wear sacks on their head.
Yes, yes.
And that's not worse?
You are not allowed to judge.
Oh, I can't say it's
you
worse.
Can't.
I can't say.
But if they bring the topic up and you go along with it, watch out.
I see.
You see what I'm saying?
I can't say it's worse.
You can't say it's bad.
Right.
But if you bring it up as something that is a viable option,
mm-hmm.
those same people would just trash you.
Mm-hmm.
You see that?
No. What are you
All
saying?
Right. If you were to say...
Yes.
To one of those types of people, hey, these cultures, they slice out the clitoris of their women. That is awful.
Right.
How dare you? Who do you think you are? That is their culture. It's a beautiful thing.
Right.
It's something they've done to adapt. And
right. I'm hip to that.
Okay. Now, fast forward a week, you come back and you go, geez, I was reading about something in the paper. I think it'd be a good thing for this country. How about we just sew up the vagina of women? That would take care of the problem with teen pregnancy.
Right. Oh, then it would be bad.
Then you would be absolutely crucified.
I see.
Okay?
Okay. Well, all I know is we can't judge.
Well, you've got that part right.
Right. Carly?
Yes.
You're 16?
Mm-hmm.
What's happening?
I was wondering about abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, what exactly do they do when you go in there? Do they give you a pill and you have to follow up or what?
Yes, you have to follow up. Yes, there's one way to do it with a pill and a shot, and there's another way to do it with a vacuum abortion, another way to do it with they go in and sort of actually scrape it out.
Yeah.
There's different ways to do it.
That vacuum one.
Yeah, the vacuum abortion is
popular.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Carla, how far along are you?
Well, I don't know. It was just sort of, I don't know yet because I'm just sort of scared at this point, you know. But
well, what's your situation? Let's figure out where you're at.
Huh?
When should you have had your period?
Well, it hasn't come yet. I should have it in about a week.
Okay.
Oh, my finger was already moving.
Let's finish it. Let's finish
all right. All right.
And when was your last period?
It's regular. I guess it was
3 weeks ago.
28 days ago.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And when did you have sex?
About 4 weeks ago.
Before your last period.
Oh, no. Sorry. Mm-hmm. It was about three.
Mm-hmm. Were you menstruating at the time?
No.
It was just after you stopped your period.
Yeah.
Okay. You'll have your period again soon.
Okay. Hey, can you...
That's enough. Took us long enough to get through that part. She'll be fine.
Yeah.
Cop partner was killed in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
Now has sex problems with wife.
No kidding.
Wow, this is heavy. Josh?
Hello.
You're 26?
Yeah.
You're a cop?
Yes, I am.
You're calling from Iowa?
Yep.
Let me ask you a couple of questions about police enforcement in Iowa. You guys hand out jaywalking tickets?
I guess if you're kind of a tight cop, yeah. But most of us don't.
Hmm. Never fit in over in the rape bank, by the
way. That's not exactly a well-enforced type law.
Hmm.
In Iowa. Mind you, in Los Angeles, it's exquisitely attended to.
Yeah. And how about the...
I guess it would depend on the habitualness of it.
How about the chicken-ass moving violations? We got a lot of those out here.
Don't start me.
Drew's angry. You wouldn't do that, would you, Josh? You wouldn't hand one of those out.
No, I wouldn't, I guess. All depends. Right. Everybody has their days, I guess, in law enforcement, cops and offenders.
What, except for we don't get to write tickets. So what happened? Your partner was killed in front of you?
Earlier this last year, while on duty, one of my partners in the force, who was a very good friend of mine, was shot and killed in the line of duty as I worked and actually died at my feet.
As what happened? Result,
what's that?
What was happening?
He was responding. To get into the details would kind of divulge, I guess, a whole lot, but basically he was responding to a known, I guess, kind of an argument in progress where it went downhill really quick.
Okay.
Like a domestic dispute?
Yep, something like that, yep. And as a result of it, he was shot and killed.
Yeah.
I actually am on a SWAT team and am our medic. And as a result of it, obviously, he was brought to me. I find it very cathartic to talk about it as far as getting on with it and getting over it and getting through it.
How long was the guy your partner?
For almost 2 years.
Wow. Was he your first partner?
Yeah. So, there was a good amount of time there to build a good bond and a working relationship.
Was he older than you?
Yeah.
So, is that how they do it? They take the rookies and they hook them up with the guys that have some experience?
No, it kind of depends on the way in which you come in as far as who they set you up with, your, I guess, mindset and... Your ability to do the job and everything like that.
All right. So this guy got shot. He died in your arms.
Yeah.
And that was, about 6 months ago?
It was a while ago, yeah.
And so now you're having problems with your wife?
Well, my wife has been very supportive throughout this entire ordeal as far as, you know, from the night that it happened. You know, giving me permission basically to be a cop for the rest of my life, even though that she found it very hard, and that I found it very hard, obviously, to go to work the next day.
Wait, she has been very supportive, or she has not been?
She has been.
Okay.
She has been extremely supportive.
Okay.
Has it been a day that she hasn't wanted me to do what I want to do?
All right.
Even though that, you know, we both understand that someday, you know, it could end bad, or, you know, it more than likely, you know, 99% of the time it won't. My issue is I talk with my wife about, you know, how I feel. Like I said, I find it very cathartic to talk about it. I talk with, you know, my coworkers who were there and who weren't there. I've since left where I was working. The importance of family kind of came into effect, and I've now moved closer back home. And I'm working with different coworkers now who, you know, don't understand what it is that I went through. So I guess my wife is taking more of the burden as far as my feelings, my thoughts, and just my overall well-being.
Why aren't you taking advantage of some of the therapeutic options that the Force gives you?
I have. As far as, see, you have to remember, too, now I've left the department in which I was working for. And a lot of that goes, you know, bye-bye. When you leave, as far as critical incident stress debriefing, you know, I've been a member of that. I've been on the other end. I've got training, I guess, all over the board, and as far as how you're supposed to deal with it.
Right.
Hard to actually do it.
Of course.
So now what's the specific problem we can help you with?
I guess I don't know. As far as what I'm having troubles is, my wife understands what I'm going through, but at the same time, we're both, I guess, extremely, you know, we've been pushed out in the limelight, and we know what could happen. And as a result of it, you know, we talk a lot about this, but we're not able to be as intimate as what we used to or once were. And I find myself kind of sometimes drawing back, kind of trying to not create, you know.
Are you using alcohol or anything like that to try to deal with this?
Not at all.
All right. Putting them on hold because we got to take a break. We can spit our answer out and then go to break. Hold on. Yeah. Maybe we're thinking the same thing, which is not that much. Which is, I mean, he's been through a very traumatic experience. This is going to shake you up. It's been about six months. It's getting close to that time where you try to move on.
Right.
Although when you remain in that line of work, you know, how far and how fast can you move on from something like this?
Here's the deal. When you get locked into these sorts of traumas, it's a post-traumatic stress disorder. And what has fairly clearly been shown is that people that get locked in like that have something going on coming in. And you may not have known it. It may not have been serious, but there were some psychological problems there already.
Mm-hmm.
And this really caused it all to sort of emerge or unravel, whatever, however you want to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're locked. I mean, I can hear it. You're not willing. You can't move on. You don't know how to. And instead of reaching out and connecting with other people, which is really what's required to get over this process, you're pushing away, and you're sort of locked in this dance of pushing away and pushing away and pushing away and reaching out and pushing away rather than actually attuning and connecting. I don't see any alternative but intensive individual therapy for this. There is EMDR and other things that are sort of managements that are available to you, but it's not your wife. That's going to ruin your relationship with your wife if you keep dumping this on
right.
her.
You got to get there. If you're a cop, that should be part of your ritual, too.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it, if you're a cop, if you're a fireman, you got to stay in good physical shape.
And good emotional health.
And you should, part of that job requirement should be hitting the shrink once a week.
It should be enough to you to, you knew what you needed to do, you've done what you're supposed to, and you're still locked in. That says you need more.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Drew, I got a big thing of assorted almonds over here, and Drew's eating them all. Drew is a man of exquisite passion who takes that passion and injects it into everything he does.
I beg your pardon.
Every orifice he comes across, he injects his passion into. If there's an opening, he'll fill it with his passion. And he doesn't care which opening. All he needs is a crack of daylight, and he will stuff his passion into it.
Is it daylight, actually, I'm looking for?
Actually, just pink. All he needs is... I'm speaking metaphorically, Drew.
I understand.
He just needs an opening, and he will fill it with passion. And it can be his mouth. It can be someone else's mouth. It doesn't matter. The passion's going in. He has the passion for my food. He has the passion for his food. He's a passionate man.
Food is good.
Food is good, and he eats with the kind of verve that only a man of great passion.
I prefer to call it gusto.
Gusto. That only a man of exquisite passion could eat with. Yes, Drew?
Yes.
Katie?
Yes. Hi.
You're 24?
Thank you for taking my call.
All right. What's up?
Well, I think I'm pretty normal mm-hmm. person. I think I act fine in social situations, but I've never had a long-term relationship, and I've never had sex with anyone. I've only had hookups, nighttime, one-night things.
You're virgin, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, 24.
Happy birthday, by the way.
Thanks, kitten. 24-year-old virgin.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's that rare nowadays either.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah, it
okay,
is.
Fine.
But it's becoming popular. It's becoming the thing to do, which is good.
It's not really frowned
it's
on.
It's not by choice. It's not by choice, for me at least.
Well, hold on a second.
No, there's that's the thing about women. It's like there's no drive.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason it wasn't her choice because the opportunity never presented itself.
Uh-huh.
So it's not she's out looking for the opportunity, but the opportunity never came to her. Therefore, it's not her choice. That's how a woman's brain works.
She went from 155 to 185 when the not my choice line dropped. Katie, you a big gal?
No.
Hmm?
No.
No? Where do you go?
135. So
135.
Not skinny, but
how tall are you?
2 foot seven.
5'4".
5'4".
Is that big?
No. That's fine. I could do the radio math, but I'm going to spare
you
that.
No, that's true. I weighed myself this morning.
All right. Let's see. Virgin, 24.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And do you work?
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't have any close... I mean, I've got, like, a couple close friends, but I just don't think... I wonder if there's something wrong with me socially that I can't create these long-term relationships, even with girls as friends.
There's
it's
some
suspicious.
It is. There's some people that just are sort of socially maldeveloped or something. I mean, it doesn't mean they have any serious problem, and a lot
right.
of it is just not having enough victory socially, whether it's with members of the opposite sex or just girlfriends earlier in life, junior high and that kind of stuff, and then mm-hmm. you just get off to a bad start and never really corrects itself.
And some of it is that the parents aren't really super social or encouraging that kind
what
of thing.
What was that?
Yeah, some of it is to parents. Like, Drew wasn't allowed to have friends.
Well, this is one of my theories about it. When I was about 10 years old, I found a sack of Playboy under my dad's bed.
Yeah.
And it really, really upset me. I cried for days, and I didn't want to talk to him for a really long time.
Yeah.
It was Playboys or was it hardcore pornography?
It was Playboy.
No, it was Penthouse.
Oh, Penthouse. A little harder. I had the same reaction when I didn't find any goddamn pornography under my dad's bed. Cried for days, Drew.
No.
Inconsolable.
Katie, actually, that reaction suggests something was already going on with you.
Okay. Something's going on.
That wasn't what did it. The fact
right.
that you reacted that way speaks volumes about what was already going on.
Something's up. Oh, my God. What you kids with your internet today. You don't know from pain.
Oof.
You don't know from scrotal pain. 15. Oh, man, I used to go babysit Reeve and Ronnie, my Israeli neighbor's friend. Just go over there, tear that house apart. And I knew they had two Playboys underneath. Dad had one.
Oh, you found him?
Izzy.
Izzy the dad.
Hairy man.
Shocking.
Izzy had himself a couple of Playboys, like from the 70s. Underneath. And by the way...
It was the 70s at the time, by the way.
No, it was... could have been 80. But, yeah, could have been 79, 80. Point is... back then, guys just had a Playboy, and it's like, yeah, this one's 7 years old. It's still good. I mean, still beat off to it. There's no turnover. You know, like, nowadays, a guy looks up a little porn on the internet. All right. The next day, looks at something else.
Right.
It's like, somebody had a Playboy, and that was what you had.
Yeah.
It was like a baseball mitt. You didn't go get a new one every weekend. It was like, that. There's your mitt. There's your
it's
Playboy.
More like the Ark of the Covenant.
Oh, well,
I mean,
yeah.
You
I mean,
put a cement lid on it and
no,
bury it in the backyard.
Yeah. Well,
come
it
on.
It is. Well, it is. Yeah, you didn't want anything to happen to it.
And you didn't want anybody to find it. You didn't want to share it with anybody, with your folks to find it.
Well, you had to hide it. Well, for me, I didn't have one, but the guy's babysat had one. I knew where they were.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what to do with it. I wasn't beaten off. I would just stare at it, staring at it. And I just mashing it into my face, you know. Freaking dizzy.
Like somebody taking a magnifying glass and shining the sun's light right on it. It's melting.
Just staring and staring. And once in a while, they really venture out with a finger, you know. It's
some sort of primate, some sort of...
Just staring, yeah.
Some sort of primitive animal.
Your fantasies would be like, wouldn't it be great if she could appear in this room and then fall asleep and I could touch her boobies? No, it's like that. That's I'm sure like 13 and 14 year olds are well past that now with the internet. Yes, Drew?
Yes, Adam.
But you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
We're just staring at it. Mm-hmm. I wonder if kids' imaginations are going to be effed up.
I've actually wondered that.
I don't mean imaginations, but creativity in general. Mm-hmm. I mean, the idea that there's a constant bombardment of entertainment, mm-hmm. just the video games and the computers and everything's just streaming in at a million miles an hour into their brain.
Here's what's interesting, is that those brains will be entering a realm which all the other brains have been similarly affected.
Mm.
So they will expect a different... They will react to a different kind of creativity.
Well, that's a good point. Nate?
Yes, sir.
You're 27?
I am, sir.
What's up?
All right. this might sound kind of funny, but to start off, let you know I'm what most people would call a chubby chaser when it comes
smart.
To
Mario. Smart.
And,
good strategy.
No, it's a great strategy.
Oh, it is. It is. People don't realize the advantages to being that way.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no,
it's
I think
huge.
They do. I think they would.
No, I mean, you can go out and go into a bar and find yourself a husky chick and take her home for the most part.
Exactly. Well, that's exactly how I find mine because I'm a bartender. Like, I help out the main bartender.
Mm-hmm. And, bar back.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Are you a big guy?
About 6'2", 200.
All right. So you're
not overly big,
size.
But, you know, good size.
Right.
What I was
radio
wondering.
Math on him.
You no, you don't do that. Guys don't lie about their weight. That guys lie about their weight when they start getting close to 300 and under. Guys that are 6'2 and 200. Drew, we're 6'2 and 200.
Yeah.
You don't lie about that part. If you do, you shave off four. You know, round up or you round. He's 204, so he goes down to 2. They don't even know guys
yeah,
don't
I'm,
weigh
I'm
themselves.
I'm about 203 and a quarter, maybe.
There you go.
anyways, what
way
I was
off,
wondering
by
is
way off. Right. How dare you?
Right.
This last Friday night when I got off work, there was a couple of husky chicks that stayed for after hours, and
I want to get a jump on the buffet. It opens at 4 the next day.
What happened was after everything was the night was coming to an end and everything, we ended up all three going home together, and we had a little three-way with me and the two of them.
Nice.
And after like the next morning, my back was really really hurting me. And for the most part, the night before, I was mainly kind of on bottom and everything.
You were what?
He was on the bottom.
During the sexual acts, I was mainly on the bottom.
Let me just because I want to picture this in my mind's eye.
No, please don't.
You were on the bottom. One of them was on top having intercourse.
Yeah.
And where was the other one?
She was, they both kind of switched back and forth, and the other would kind of play with the other one while she was doing her thing.
Okay, so there's nothing around the face area.
No.
I don't even know if I could handle that part of it. I don't know if I'm that brave.
No, that's tough,
But, like I said, my back was really killing me the next morning, and it's still really, it really is bugging me still. Mm-hmm. And what I was wondering is I'm on Depakote for epilepsy.
Or for bipolar?
Just epilepsy.
Hmm. Really? Depakote for epilepsy, Drew?
Originally it was.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've been on Depakote since I was diagnosed with epilepsy at about age 13.
I'd say it's a primary seizure disorder.
Absence
seizures, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
What's your doctor say about making it with the tons of funds in the threesome? You know what I mean? I mean, you got 600-700 pounds worth of women, worth of woman on that bed. Drew, is this physician? You know what I'm saying?
You have to speak up a little bit about safety issues.
Yeah.
About what? No, the weight issues?
Safety issues.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, see, I take a lot of heat from all my buddies, you know, sure. at work and everything. As soon as one of them walks in the front door, they're like, hey, you know, there's some new meat for you.
Did you wear a condom?
Oh, yeah.
By the way, getting the word out that you're the man to see for the big gals is not going to slow down business at all.
It's a good strategy.
It is.
All the way around.
Yeah.
I can't even think straight
now
here.
What about marrying a big gal?
I wouldn't mind, you know, when it comes to something like that. I haven't even really thought about something like that, but I'm going to try
to get my kid into fat chicks. If I have a son, I'm going to try to train him. Son, this be a real good thing.
Why don't you ask what Ed's training was?
I don't know. All right, I'm guessing his dad's black.
Hello.
Wait a minute. Is this a different Ed?
Yeah, it's a different one.
Oh.
No, it's Ed.
Nate.
Oh, you just said Ed. That's what I'm talking
about.
Nate?
Yeah.
What's your training with the chubby chicks?
What do you mean training?
Well, I mean, what happened? Did anything happen to you as a young person?
No, it wouldn't be happened.
Like I was about to say is I've kind of, like, thought about it really hard before, like, you know, is there something about them or something that turns me on or something? And I think when I think about it, it's more, I think I like them more for their personality more than, like, I obviously like, you know, the petite.
Oh, Nate's gay.
But
big gals do have better personalities.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's how I figure it is that, you know, if they look as big as they do, and most guys would, you know, wouldn't even give them the time of day when it comes to stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And I kind of step in and take my turn and realize.
That's not how a guy's brain works.
No,
no, that's not it.
No, you like a fat ass, or you're like an areola man, and the big gals have the big coaster size areolas. That's how a guy thinks.
Yeah. Ask him. That's weird that he's.
I don't know. Yeah. You want to talk?
Yeah, I was curious.
Really? That's it? Just the personality? That's not.
Well, obviously, when it comes to the sexual part of it, that part turns me on too. But
you an areola man?
Well, not really.
Okay, now we got nothing to talk about. Because here's the only thing. Here, let me explain, Drew. Mm. There's one good part of a husky chick. That's that areola. That's that big coaster size areola.
I see.
Do you see what I'm saying?
I'm listening.
That's the one. That's the one good thing that comes with the package.
Ah.
That and I mean, the attitude, good laid back attitude, but the physically, that big nipple areola.
It is kind of a fetish, mm-hmm. right? Because it's a physical feature that he needs to function sexually.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, it's, you know, something about mom.
Hmm. Yeah. Have a good time.
Yeah.
All right, let's take ourselves a break here, Drew.
Yeah.
We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Just heard phone screener Brian telling someone never to call again. That's a good thing. I like that. That's chutzpah, son. All right, phone number. Did I give that? 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew over there. Adam Carolla over here. And it's time to go back to the phones. Let's speak to Elizabeth. Elizabeth?
Hello.
22?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's up?
When I'm about to orgasm, mm-hmm. I feel like I can't breathe, like I'm suffocating.
Mm-hmm. Drew?
Yeah.
I think maybe Chief Thunderbear.
Okay. He's very good with this sort of thing.
He's a pulmonary specialist.
No, actually. he's a gynecologist.
Well, he's a gynecologist. He's a psychologist.
Ear, nose, and throat experience, too.
He does do ear, nose, and throat. And
he's a shaman. He's a man of great wisdom.
He has some specialties, too. And I think the ear, nose, and throat may come in here also as a sleep specialist as well.
Oh, good, good, mm-hmm. good. I didn't know about that training, but that's excellent. He, I know he's an amazing gentleman. Amazing.
Yeah, so I'm going to bring...
His command of language is fabulous.
I'm going to bring him in. I'm going to need you, because you speak Iroquois, right?
Didn't we call it Choctaw?
Choctaw, yeah. Well, Drew speaks a few of the Native American languages, and he's going to go ahead and translate for Chief Thunderbear, ear, nose, and throat doctor.
Gynecologist.
And gynecologist. A psychologist.
Shaman.
and shaman or shaman. All right, Elizabeth?
Okay.
All right, so go ahead and ask your question.
Well, get him in here.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Chief, yeah. Hey.
Chief, come on. Have a seat here, Chief. It's okay. It's okay. It's all right. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. We have Elizabeth. Chris. Chris, he's still mad at you from last night. He wants more coffee. Come on. This tonight, please, Chris, don't embarrass us. Not two nights in a row, okay? Engineer Chris, please.
Live at home many years. Jakaka. Many moon. Hachika. No make wampum. Hayahe.
He wants you fired, but he can't fire you because they're not paying you enough. Okay, Elizabeth, go ahead and ask your question.
When I'm about to orgasm, I feel like I can't get enough oxygen. Like I'm suffocating.
Say that again. The chief says, Elizabeth, that you should continue breathing right on through the orgasm. There's no reason you should have to stop breathing.
Yes, you can.
I'm trying to breathe. Like, I can't get enough oxygen.
What
like,
the heck are
you? What prevents you from breathing?
I don't know. I feel like I can't get enough oxygen.
Like,
are you hyperventilating?
Yeah.
What's that?
Why?
I don't know.
Easy, Chief. Easy. More coffee. Chris, go. Come on.
Yeah!
Chris, come on. Look, this guy carries on every night. This guy's graced us with his presence. He's been good enough to come in here with his wide-ranging expertise.
Yes.
Please, don't embarrass us like this, okay?
Tanak. Okay.
Sorry, Chief. I'm sorry. Don't worry. I know. Shh. It's good. He'll get coffee. He wants rum in the coffee, too. Yeah, I know. Yeah, fire water. Yes, fire water. Fire water, yes, I understand. Okay, back to Elizabeth. Elizabeth, he's saying a prayer for you. Okay, he's also gathering the spirits of the it's sort of like a Tao spirit that he breathes in and connects with. Try to answer your question. Okay, he's ready now. So, you have one boyfriend?
Yeah.
And how long have you been having sex with him?
Just like a month or so.
Are you nervous?
No, I'm not. I've had other long-term relationships and it always happens, and I can't, like, I get so worn out that I can't, like, I want them to stop because I feel like I can't get enough oxygen, and I get, like,
dehydrated. He understands that. Chief understands about the oxygen.
Yes,
are you having sex, or is it during oral sex?
It's during oral sex.
No, he means... Chief, he's confusing... He's confusing you giving oral sex with you receiving oral sex, and he wants to be sure that it's not that you can't breathe because you have something... you got something occluding your airway.
Just receiving.
Who doesn't have shortness of breath when they're receiving?
No, but...
He's confused. The chief is confused. He's basically saying, you know, who doesn't get a little short of breath when you're, especially early on when you're in your sexual relationship, when you're not sort of used to being sexually active. You can get nervous and get uptight, and you know, you got to learn to, you got to literally breathe. And breathe and attune to the spirits of the world, the circle of life. Where's the coffee, Chris? Where is it? And the fire water. He wants a bottle of fire water. Brandy. Well, Chief, thank you very much. I think you helped Elizabeth. I may have to talk to her a little bit more off the air. So, Elizabeth, hang on, please. Would you like to take another call?
I'm back.
Oh, whoa, Adam.
Yeah.
Where'd the chief go?
Chief just says, well, first off, chief, you know, you just hear the wind chimes and the dream chaser blowing, dream catcher blowing around, and he's gone.
I see. He sees a spirit himself.
Oh, it's much like a spirit. He's elusive as a spirit. All right. Who are we going to talk to? How'd that go? How was the chief?
He was good. He was good.
Good man?
Didn't help Elizabeth very much, but he was good. I'm going to talk to her off the air.
Heard commercial?
No, we're going to break.
Has to do a report on class. Hold on a second. Oh. Sasha?
Yes?
You doing a report in class?
Yeah, it's for block. The question is, what is love?
Mm-hmm. All right, baby, hold on. We're going to tell you what it is.
Well, the chief might, if not Adam and I.
When we come back after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. All right. Let's speak to Sasha, who's 14. Sounds a little depressed.
Well, she has to write a paper. She should write a paper tonight, and she's waiting for us to get to her.
Yeesh.
Well, it's not really a paper. It's an oral report, and the question is, what is love?
Mm-hmm. What do you have to do with those oral reports? You get to bring up, like, 3x5 cards?
Well, no, we just have to report to the class what we found out about the topic.
Have you checked it out on the web?
Yeah, I tried, but it's, like, not applicable to the topic that we're doing right now.
Well,
right,
it's a very complex question.
I know you have to report to the class, but do you get to bring up 3x5 cards?
No.
No cheat sheet? No nothing?
Well, we can bring, like, research, but we have to just talk to the class about it.
Extemporaneously. Or without notes, written material.
I know you gotta, all right. Anyway, I don't know why I'm talking to people.
So what have you discovered so far?
Well, just the general dictionary definition of love.
Yeah.
But not, like, applicable to...
No, Sasha, this is actually...
Why isn't it applicable?
There's a book called A General Theory of Love that's about 200 pages that goes through a systematic discussion of what the brain mechanisms are, possibly, probably, related to this phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
A General Theory of Love. And there are...
200 pages?
Yes, it's a terribly... Listen, first of all the literature, all the world's literature is packed with discussions about, at least the sort of romantic literature, about what this thing is, an exploration, the philosophical explorations. The reality is now they're zeroing in on certain brain mechanisms.
Really?
And there are functional MRI scans. Mm. There's differences in terms of how men and women experience these things. It's experiences at different phases of life, different kinds of relationships, different depending on your history of your close relationships and whether you've been traumatized. Mm-hmm. So it's a terribly, terribly complex topic.
Mm-hmm.
But I would think the web would be a source for this, at least for the MRI sort of, you know, look up the cingulate gyrus in the brain. That's one of the areas where these...
What's it called?
The cingulate gyrus and the orbital frontal system.
I don't think I got either one
of
those.
These are where these sort of attachment phenomenon occur. And attachment is thought to be a critical issue in the love experience.
Boring!
Yeah, it's actually it can be very boring if you really break it down to what the brain's
doing. Oh, no, it already is boring.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Sasha.
Yeah?
Hold on. Yeah, the Sasha. I bet she's cute because she's already becoming a pain in the ass.
Well, here's the deal. Did you look on the web? No, not applicable. What have you got so far? Well, I'll open the dictionary.
Yeah, I don't
know. Okay.
Hey, Sasha.
Yeah?
I don't like your attitude.
Why?
Yeah, it just bothers me. I don't think I'm going to answer this question.
Okay.
All right.
How dare you?
I didn't like
her. Maybe the chief would answer it.
Nah. No. Chief's snotty. Everything was sort of like, she was one of these, there's these people out there, you get halfway into your thing and they start shutting it down, like you start going, well, are you allowed, and they just start going, they have two modes, either they misunderstand, or they just sort of don't listen, or they just sort of
dismiss
all the time, yeah, and all your ideas are stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, have you tried going, I already tried that, well, did you look, they don't have anything.
It's not applicable.
Yeah. All right. Well, good luck. But here's the thing. Sasha called the show looking for answers about love. Instead, I think she learned very important answers about attitude.
Ah.
That's what she needed. All right. And we don't have a good answer anyway.
I gave her several references.
Yeah, but I don't know what she's supposed to do with that. All right.
What are we supposed to do with the question?
What is she supposed to do in front of her class?
She's got to go to the web and actually do some research. Actually do it. And start with a general theory of love. Maybe there's a synopsis of the book online.
I've even talked to Damon.
Wait, hold on a second. I'm going to ask a question. Sasha, are you still there?
Yeah.
What's your family situation like?
Just a regular family.
Everything cool?
Yeah.
Dad's home. He loves you?
Mm-hmm.
And mom's good, too?
Yeah.
What's your dad do for a living?
He's a computer programmist person for Microsoft.
Aha! And your mom, what's she do?
Oh, well, she's a computer person, too, but she doesn't work.
Nice.
Well, she can't really work. We're illegal. Well, it's illegal for her to work.
Why?
Well, we're from Russia, so we just moved here like 3 years ago, so she doesn't have a right visa to have a right to work.
How was Russia?
What?
How was Russia?
It was cold.
It was cold.
It was good.
It's good? Russia's good?
Yeah.
Why'd you move?
Because my dad got a job here, and it was better than the job there.
Are you upset that you had to leave?
Well, I guess, but it was like 3 years ago, so I don't really remember much.
Wow.
But you were 11 then. You should most of your childhood was there. You should remember a ton.
Well, I remember a lot of stuff, but like not really enough to have a very big emotional attachment to it.
Wait, whoa. You couldn't have a bigger emotional attachment. Those are when emotional attachments are very terribly intense.
At 11.
But 11 and under, of course. Those are the most powerful imprints on your brain are during those years.
Well, but I was like a lonely kid when I was in Russia, but when I moved here, I got lots of friends.
Well, why do you like Russia better, though?
Well, because that's just like my homeland. You just like it better than the one you have now, I guess.
I know, but you didn't have any friends over there, and your dad had a crappy job.
Well, not crappy, and no friends at all. I had friends. But I have more friends here because people are friendlier.
Are they? Well, you think? And by the way, she doesn't really have any accent. Shouldn't you have some accent?
If you picked up English 3 years ago?
I was learning English since I was like in first grade in Russia.
That's smart.
Here, I just got more fluent.
I see. And you think people are friendlier here than they are in Russia?
Well, it's like you walk down the street and people are smiling at you. I don't see a reason for people to smile. And in Russia, people don't smile at you randomly.
Where what part of Russia were you living in?
What?
What part of Russia were you living in?
It's like right in the middle where Europe and Asia meet. It's like the city is called Yekaterinburg.
Oh, that Drew's been there. He went there on a sex tour he was telling me about during the break. Hold on a second, Sasha. Sasha's smart, but she's angry.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think
that's
I sensed the first time around.
It's something out of a Woody Allen film or something. Like she's some sort of character out of it. Like people should not smile. It's like, what's the smile for? Why are you smiling?
She's going to vent a ray that stops people from smiling. All right, let's see. Sasha?
Yeah?
You sound angry.
No, I don't. I'm just tired. I have to wake up at 5:30 to get.
And there's not many 14-year-olds that talk about, why people are smiling and how they don't smile. And
well, it's just scary when you're walking down the street and people just look randomly smile at you. It's not something you'd expect usually.
Well, I mean, you've been here for long enough to probably get used to it, right?
Well, I guess, but it's
okay.
Still, well, I went back during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of got reacquainted with everything, so.
Mm-hmm. So if you had it your way, would you be living in Russia?
Actually, I would be living in Amsterdam.
Really?
Yeah, because I think that'd be cool.
Have you ever been there?
We could have moved to Amsterdam, if we had two.
Have you ever been there?
What?
Oh, where's the...
I don't know.
We could have moved to here or Holland.
Oh, okay. All right, listen, let me give you some sage advice and forget about this. By the way, in this country, I'm looked at as a deity. I'm a bit of a god. So maybe you hadn't heard of me in Russia, but I'm huge over here stateside.
Adam Nostrovia.
That's right.
I've listened to this radio station for 2 years now, so.
So you know. You know. So listen, here's the thing, Sasha. You're super smart. I bet you're cute. You got a lot going for you. But sometimes being smart doesn't mean being happy. As a matter of fact, smart is not the friend of happiness oftentimes. Mm-hmm. It turns on happy and beats the crap out of it. Because smart looks at happy and says, you think you're happy? Yeah. Where'd you get that haircut? And look at you. You're 10 pounds overweight. And, you know, you got some friends, but you don't got that many. And they ain't that smart. And they ain't that happy. And next thing you know, happy don't feel too good about himself.
Right.
That's what smart does to happy. You know what you want? Let me tell you.
That's why that was not the eighth dwarf. Or they kicked him off the set.
Smart and happy?
Because he would have kicked Happy's ass and
right.
would have upset the balance of the whole
right.
thing.
Sasha is real long on smart and kind of short on happy. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, whereas the smart people walk around passing judgment and letting everyone know how much smarter they are than everyone, ultimately, joke's on them. Because they went through a life without any happiness. Mm-hmm. So...
I think you're giving a very, very important message to the American youth, which is don't be smart.
That's right. And don't crack wise. No, it's one thing to accumulate knowledge. That's fine. That's an important thing. You should go out and experience and learn as much as you can. But when you put a bigger emphasis on smart than you do on happy, people need to focus on happy. If people are smiling, you should smile back. It's a better life.
I just find
it
interesting that the whole notion of love for Sasha is something terribly mysterious and confusing. It's like, what could they possibly mean?
Yeah. Well,
I looked in the dictionary.
Sasha's smart and a little bit angry.
Icy
and
cold.
It's an icy cold. Colder than the Russian front that they used to threaten to send Colonel Klink to all the time. Colder than
Siberian winter.
I was going to say a Siberian parking block. All right, so here's the point. You can't tell her. It's never going to work.
I know.
I just don't know what to do. What do you do with Sasha? Send her a space camp?
Get more friends.
More friends.
Yeah.
Get some friends and get some goofy friends.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, I just wanted to see how things were going. You know, he was writing the music for that new band or whatever, and that they had pretty good.
I knew an S or an F was going to fly out of there. I just knew it.
God forbid we put one of the Loveline callers on the air for more than four words without them knowing it. The S bomb gets dropped.
I thought it'd be the F bomb first. I was convinced that was coming any second.
Well. I'm sure we missed out on six F-bombs and three S's in the time, and maybe an N-word in the time we put her on hold. All right, but that's not her fault, so we're not going to punish her. We're going to go back to her,
okay.
Drew.
All right. Why is it not her fault?
It's not her fault.
She didn't know she was on the air.
She didn't know she was on the air.
Oh, yeah. Paige?
I don't even know. I can't even.
It's going to happen again. Paige? I don't want her to do it again.
Oh, come on. It'll be funny.
When do you think that you'll get to talk to him next, or?
Well, I have my stuff there, regardless. Like, I'm just gonna get my stuff tonight. Like, because I have my makeup bag and everything, like my hair straightener.
Yeah, I guess I wouldn't push it. If he wants to, he's totally disregarding you, and you guys have had this really.
I feel another F or an S coming.
I'm cool. I got it.
All right, you're cool.
You got it?
What's the over-under on the S?
No, the F.
Or the F.
And she was giving love advice. That was good.
How many minutes?
She was giving love advice.
How many minutes?
No, minutes.
How many seconds, I mean?
How many seconds?
30 seconds.
30?
Yeah.
I'm going under.
Okay.
You're going over.
Okay.
Are you ready?
To F.
Go. No F or F.
I'm back at work yet. I have to do, like, all the paperwork and all the computer.
Whoa, that was quick.
4 seconds into it. Are you... Let me explain something, Drew. 30 seconds, a lifetime to someone who has profanity flying from their mouth.
I didn't know
constantly.
That the S and F were commas and periods for her.
Oh, yeah.
Man,
when you said 30, I immediately, Chris, your witness, I went under. I said,
fast,
go under.
Fast.
Yeah. Oh, no. I would have put it more at about 16, 17 seconds, but that was literally 4.5 seconds. Now, Anderson, did you
double down? Do it again.
Did you get
that?
It.
We're cool. Yeah, we're
all right.
Double down.
No real time. All right, now this time we'll go 20 seconds. 20 seconds to F.
Unless she does two in a row, then give me a break.
Okay. Well, I'll nip her on the first one. Okay. So I don't know.
Still, I've got a single F out. See, I'm gambling on F.
I'm just going profanity that we got to cut. Over what's your over under?
15.
15?
Yeah. I think that was a lucky move, that last one.
15? All right, I'm going over.
What's what I want to do, too?
And his girlfriend and boyfriend. Like, and he's like, yeah, I just, there are things that I also want to do for you. And, like, I was like, oh, okay. Like, and before you did.
Why does he, yeah, like, what?
You were the one that, you know, wanted to, you were so persistent and, like, and, you know, that. So annoying. Like, that's what guys do.
Yeah.
True got the F word. The F word came about 21 seconds into it, although it was only her third word. Her friend was doing most of the talking. Yeah. So it was hard to figure out where to start the clock there because, right, you know, our friend was talking the whole time.
That was tough.
Yeah, that's tough. All right, Anderson, did you get
that?
Yeah,
we're good. Let's do more.
And what is the, now, what are the people at home hearing?
They're just hearing like a second of dead.
They hear this. They
but they know
the
what's
word.
Being said, yeah.
They missed the word.
Okay.
Do you make a sound or something where the word goes?
I've been asking for a sound over here for a long time, but I just have dead air.
Right. Okay. Well, that sound is would be that's extravagant, right? Yeah. I mean, for that's a radio show,
I wanted this.
Aye. All right, let's get back.
Flipper sound. Well, let's make another bet.
Okay. All right, now this is any kind of profanity. Any kind of profanity.
I think we go for a duel. A duel.
Yeah, we can't. We
yes,
can't.
Yes, you can.
We
if her friend is talking, as soon as she starts talking, I'll play the clock ticking, and we'll know.
Okay. Here, look, here's my point, Drew.
Dual juxtaposed profanity.
No.
30 seconds.
No. I got to put them on hold the second I hear the first one. And Anderson's got to dump it.
I can put it on hold.
Well, here's the point. It's getting confusing, Drew. I say S word.
All right.
I say S word in 12 seconds. You going under
over.
Or over?
Over.
You're going
of
over.
Her talking.
Of her talking. Of her talking.
Yes.
12 seconds.
Over.
Going over. All right, I'm going, so I've 12's a push.
Wrong button.
Oh, wrong button. All right, I'm gonna push the button when the clock gets to straight up at 11:17. All right.
That's
yeah.
23 minutes before top of the hour.
Here we go.
43 minutes. My friend's not there anymore.
Hello.
Oh, you guys stopped talking.
Oh no, you heard that.
Wow, we had a great thing going with you two.
Oh wow.
That was huge.
But Paige, we noticed a certain meter and quality to your speech, and we'd ask you to refrain from using some of the great embellishment of speech and language that colors your language every about fifth word while you're on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'm sorry about that.
Oh, okay. That's all right. Where'd you go to finishing school? Drew's looking for
a place to send my
nice
daughter.
Prep place to send the kids. Yeah.
You know, I didn't know you guys were there. Now I feel really rude. I'm sorry about that.
That's all right. Now, how did it happen that we could hear you, but you couldn't hear us?
You know, that's really bizarre. I was kind of thinking the same thing. I'm totally embarrassed right now.
She was lost right. in conversation.
How much did you hear?
We heard you first giving out some very sage advice.
Effing advice.
Effing advice and a little essing advice to your friend,
yeah.
too.
Essie advice.
That was the most random thing. Like, I just had an old friend, like, stop by, and it was absolutely crazy. And I was like, I finally got through. Hi, boys. By the way, sorry. I'm
that's all right. We found out how guys are. And we thought, right. We actually thought you were right.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you. Maybe I'll change my major.
What is your major now, Paige? Swearing?
Elocution.
It's fashion. You know, we're allowed to and smoke cigarettes and do all that fun stuff. Tobacco.
But I think when I hear fashion, I think skinny chick, big nose.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's what I think.
I don't know. I don't think I'm really skinny, but and that's probably just a girl thing to say. You know, thank you, Adam. I do have a big nose.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, how tall are you?
I'm 5.
Ooh,
dude, Paige. Didn't we just ask for to hold the color down? Rhetoric, not elocution. Rhetoric. That's what she majors in.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now wait a minute, Drew. Now I'm confused. Now I'm not. Was she insulted
by the question?
By the question?
No, she was just using a comma.
Yeah,
that
but
was a comma.
The effing. I said, how tall are you? And she said, I'm effing.
Yeah. I'm let's see, comma.
Yeah. What did that? But she sounded like an articulate. I know you're laughing, but I mean, once she was aware she was on the air, she
could only hold it together for so long, Adam. Please, come on.
Well, it's true. It had been a whole 36 seconds. We could have dropped the F-bomb. Wow. All right, Paige, you got to hang on a second because we're going to have to.
I'm enticed.
Really?
Let's just finish it up.
All right. Paige.
Yes.
How tall are you?
Oh, please do.
What is she talking about now? Paige, how tall are you?
I'm 5'10".
5'10". And how much do you weigh?
I weigh like 135, 137, I'll be honest.
All right. And you got a big schnoz, right?
Yeah,
All right, I'm scared whenever she starts talking that she's going to let the F-bomb fly. All I said was chicks that are designers, I skinny. I didn't say tall, just skinny with a big schnoz.
5'10", 130 is pretty thin.
Is 137? Yeah, no, it's thin, mm-hmm. And she got a big schnoz. That's all I'm saying. That's what I picture. Mm-hmm. All right.
Oh.
Paige.
So Paige, what's your question?
Well, I was basically I'm curious to see if I masturbate a lot. Sure.
Is that part of your image, Adam?
You know, like some days I do, like every other day I probably don't, but when I do it like 4 or 5 times. Mm-hmm. I don't touch myself, though. I use a vibrator. Mm-hmm. I've never had an orgasm during sex. Mm-hmm. So, I want to know, basically, I mean, ever since I lost my virginity at a very young age, mm-hmm. and it wasn't the best experience, of course.
Mm-hmm. How old were you?
I was 13.
Uh-huh. Mm. Okay.
How old was the guy?
15.
Yeah.
How'd that, were you just one of these girls that grew up too fast?
It was my brother's best friend, you know. He's been a friend of the family for, you know,
fabulous.
Several years. We'd grown up together. He was really cool and always made my brother be nice to me.
Are your parents professionals, like attorneys or doctors or something?
No comments on that.
Why not?
Because no.
Were your parents drug addicts or something to be ashamed of? Or
no, but regardless, I don't know.
Hold on. What's she so flighty for? And what's with their no comment line?
Well, you have a rule about that, don't you?
Oh, yeah. My rule is when I hear no comment from one of the callers, later on that night, I go home, I beat off, and I drink red wine.
Thus, well, wait a minute. That happens every
yeah.
night.
Yeah, that's what I'm
but
saying.
But we don't hear no comment every night.
Oh. Yeah. All right, but I'm just playing it safe.
Okay.
You understand?
Yeah. Okay, just, I understand.
Because I'll get home, and I'll be like, wait a minute, did I hear no comment?
Probably.
Pour some wine and pull my junk out.
Just to be sure.
Please, you got to cover myself. You don't know.
Please,
you could get burned.
Don't cover yourself.
Paige?
Yes.
All right, so here's the thing. What did your parents do?
What kind of people were they?
I don't like my dad. I don't speak with my dad.
Yeah.
What was he, a professional?
Yeah, he has like ADHD, so he had like 7 jobs a year.
Well, I just hear bipolar when you say that.
Yeah, that too. I don't know who he is, so I speak with him. He kind of, I don't know.
So did he not make any money?
No, he made good money. He just like lived a whole life that we never knew about.
Oh. And are any doctors or lawyers in your family?
One doctor.
Who?
My mom.
Oh, okay. I asked if your mom and dad were doctors or lawyers.
I know, but I don't,
doctor.
You know.
All right, who cares? I know what's going on. I know her. I mean, I know. I can feel her.
Tell me.
Just got the money, got the attitude, angry, smart again, not happy.
What's your anger about just being abandoned?
And grown up early.
Had to raise herself kind of thing?
Yeah.
Parentalized early.
That's right. I would say that too. Money, but you can't buy. Mm. Can't buy the love kind of thing. Mm. Dad all over the place. Mom professional. Out
so
a
very,
lot.
Very cold family life. Very distant.
Cold, yeah. And so you grow up smart. You kind of grow up fast and a little angry. So she's like smart, little angry.
Was that less than zero? Wasn't that
about that? That's her. All right. All right, we're taking a break. Paige, I don't care.
Interesting night, hasn't it?
You got your vibrator. God bless you.
For Adam's birthday, it's been an interesting night. Adam's going to Europe tomorrow?
No. Next day. Yeah. All right.
Good times.
Yeah, good times. We'll be back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191-ER. All right, I feel bad for being mean to Paige, but she got something wrong with her.
You know, you just don't like women that are angry and high strung. You just don't like it.
Tap into it. I don't know what it is.
You identify it very, very
my
clearly.
My fur starts standing up.
Yeah, I know. I don't have the same reaction. I don't get counter transference.
You better hope you don't. Your marriage going to be, for a tough marriage. Yeah, that's right.
What's wrong with tough, angry women? They're fine. They're fun.
All right. So anyway, Paige over here is having a bunch of, she's having a lot of vibrator orgasms, but nothing with a man.
Yeah. No surprise.
Kind of common, but I'm guessing doesn't want to give it up with a guy.
And she could always bring the vibrator in with her.
Doesn't work for chicks.
Yeah.
Don't know why that is. There's no such thing as that with guys. You know what I mean? If some device that makes you orgasm very quickly and efficiently,
mm-hmm.
If you did that, if you brought that in to your lovemaking, you just go off that much faster.
Right.
For a guy.
Right.
For women, no. Women can sit there, put the vibrator on them, have 1,000 orgasms. Guy walks into the house, no more. That's the end of that. Really? Guy could do it. Have a film crew. Did nothing. Mm-hmm. Would matter. Just if the actual sensation was going on, that's it.
If the proper stimulation was there, that's it.
That's right. Christine?
Yeah?
You're 21?
Yes.
What's up?
I was actually wondering if there's anything I can do to prevent urinating before coming. Mm-hmm. During oral sex and hand jobs, I tend to urinate a lot.
Mm-hmm. Call them hand jobs, huh?
It's almost pleasurable.
The urination.
Yeah.
So what's the problem with that?
Well, she's making a mess.
She wants to be able to choose whether she does.
Huge mess. And then what about the guys? The poor guy giving her oral.
How about emptying your bladder before you get involved with stuff?
She does that.
It doesn't matter.
Drew, here's
it's maybe not urine. Maybe it's just orgasm.
Yeah, but Drew, you act like emptying the bladder is like dumping out your coffee in the sink. I mean, there's always something left. I mean, listen, you can take a leak. You can go climb into bed, lie there for 15 minutes, stand up, go back into the bathroom, and take another half a leak.
Not to rub salt in the wounds, monsieur, but that's for a 40-year-old man.
No, women
are 20-year-old female.
She can squeeze something out.
Even a 20-year-old male, it's a different thing. The residual, the post-void residual, that's called, is different in a 20-year-old female than a 40-year-old male.
You could go empty yourself. Go into the room, and 10 minutes later, make enough to embarrass yourself,
but not to make a huge mess.
Well, but we've discussed this many times.
I know, but she's sort of describing it as something enormous.
Well, again, you take a couple of capfuls and throw them in the guy's face. That's a humiliation enough.
I'm on board with.
All right. So, Christine.
Yes.
What happens when you have the orgasm and then the urination when the guy's performing oral sex on you?
What do you mean, what happens? When I'm having actual...
Well, hold on a second.
She's going to try.
The phone didn't cut out there,
did it? No,
that
was her mind lock.
Wow, is that what that is?
Yeah.
Christine?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You ever had any brain injuries?
No.
Oh, okay.
Thanks for asking, though.
All right. Just being polite.
But during actual sex, it doesn't happen unless he...
No. No, during oral sex...
That's the only time she has this, I guess.
That's what I am.
Yeah. It happens during oral sex?
Yes.
And what happened? You asked what happened to the guy?
Yeah. I mean, do you pee on the guy?
Yeah.
Oh, you do? Okay. And is it your boyfriend?
Yeah. He said it was fine, but it's still uncomfortable.
Yeah, no, I understand. I mean, you just tell him you're marking your territory. and God bless guys. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
You just take a whiz in my face. That's all right.
But I mean, I wouldn't
give me some fecal matter. Yeah.
spontaneous sex because I'm afraid I'm just going to make a mess.
No, listen, I understand. And let me...
Well, I don't understand.
No,
I'm not going to have intercourse, but I will pee in his face.
She's not going to have intercourse?
She said I can't have spontaneous... Oh, does she just mean...
I think she she means...
Without setting down a tarp.
Yeah, Christine?
Yeah.
You don't have this problem during intercourse, though.
Only if he pulls out or it slips or whatever, then I'll urinate. But if he's in, then no, nothing.
Do you have an orgasm through intercourse?
Sometimes, not usually.
So the peeing has nothing to do with orgasm.
That's kind of my question to you, because it's almost pleasurable. Like, I feel like it might have been one, but...
All right, so you're not sure, but if he has intercourse with you for a while and then pulls out, you'll urinate.
Yeah.
Okay.
So just urethral irritation. Yeah.
Whew. Man.
Took some working.
Got to be rough for the guy who's manning the drive-thru at the Jack in the Box when Christine pulls up. Yeah, how can I help you? Welcome to Jack in the Box. What would you like to order? Fries. Anything else? Hamburger. Would you like something to drink with that? I'm getting to it.
Yeah.
Wow. All right, maybe it's a phone line. She's calling from Ontario, California, though. Is that Ontario? So if this is Ontario, Canada, we're cool. If it's Ontario, California, it explains. There's an explanation here. Christine?
Yes.
You're calling from Ontario, California?
Correct.
All right. It all now, whoop, just came together. It was funny. I was looking at Ontario, and I thought, Canadian? Not moving too quick for a Canadian. And then I heard, I thought, oh, no, wait a minute. That's Ontario, California. And snapped into focus. Now she's your auctioneer.
For Ontario, yeah.
Slow for Canada, fast for Ontario. Mm-hmm. All right. Not much. Now, okay, so let's talk about this real fast. Drew, your attitude of, hey, the guy doesn't mind, and hey, you're having your orgasm, not going to work. 21-year-old women don't want to wet the bed every time they have intercourse or oral sex.
All right.
Unfortunately, from doing this show for a long time, I know there's really not a whole lot you can do about it. You can
Kegel exercises, that's about it.
Yeah. You know, let me tell you how that gets translated into Ontario, California. Drew said, drink a keg.
Yeah.
There are exercises you can do called Kegel exercises to strengthen the muscles in that region of the body.
Right.
Therefore, being able to control.
Yes.
Or hopefully have more control, potentially, over these
emissions.
Thank you. So, that's it. And then later on, I guess there are some medications and things. But you're 21. Yeah. You don't want to monkey with that and try you all up and everything. No. All right. You got a guy who doesn't mind.
Yeah.
Do the Kegels. See what it gets you.
Good time.
And good times. Let's not forget about that. Alexis?
Yes?
You're 14?
Mm-hmm.
What's happening, baby doll?
Well, like last year, I had a fight with a friend, and I ended up overdosing on pills in a suicide attempt.
Wow, because a fight with a friend.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Not even a boyfriend?
No.
Wow, see, I mean, I can understand having close friendships and stuff, but the idea that, you know, without the love part of it, it just seems like, wow. It seems like
really dependent on her and stuff.
Chaos.
Oh, yeah, but you must have been sort of depressed and close to suicide anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh,
except for that.
All right. So you took some pills. What pills?
Some diet pills that were in her mom's cupboard or something.
What? Doesn't that just speed you up?
I have no idea. I just started puking and...
Uh-huh.
It was bad.
How many did you take?
I have no clue.
Okay.
Maybe like 10.
Okay.
11, I don't know.
All right. So you tried to kill yourself with 10 diet pills, and it made you puke, and now what?
And now I can't take pills without getting really nauseous and throwing up or just feeling horrible.
How long ago did this happen?
Maybe a year ago.
And do you have an eating disorder?
Last December.
Have you been bulimic ever?
Sort of.
Yeah. Adam, you ever been bulimic?
I know.
Yeah. Well, bulimia can predispose to this kind of thing.
It can.
Yep.
Why? How?
Because people have sort of more readily to the vomit.
Really?
Vomit occurs much
that,
more easily.
That it loosens up that reflex?
In a way, yeah. That's a good way to think. For some people. The other thing is, what pills are these you're trying to take now that make you vomit?
Just normal, like Tylenol and stuff.
Well, Tylenol or Advil?
Advil, Tylenol.
Yeah, well, Advil and the Aleve and the Nuprin and all that stuff can cause gastritis and by themselves can cause nausea and vomiting.
Really?
Yeah.
Lightweight.
And if you had vomiting, maybe you've had gastritis sort of all along here, was never properly treated,
but
that could be the case.
You talking about trying to get it down, or are you talking about once it sits in your stomach
for a few minutes? Yeah, it's a sip for a few minutes.
But wait a minute, I'm asking Alexis.
Which is it?
Well, right after I take it, it just kind of makes me feel bad and...
I know. Okay.
She's getting at, which in fact may be the case, is some sort of conditioned response.
Oh.
That she has a conditioned reaction to swallowing pills, which triggers it. And nausea is one of those experiences that can be highly conditionable.
Right. So, I mean, what I mean is it's not what she's taking, it's
swallowing
that she's
of a pill.
Taking it.
And she's associated that, her brain associated that with that experience she had.
Right.
So it re-evokes all those feelings.
All right.
And that could happen.
All right. How about you get over it?
That's right.
Okay.
All right, baby doll.
Eventually.
And what else? You okay?
Yeah, pretty much.
You sound depressed.
Kind of.
How about you get some therapy? I'm very depressed. No reason to be depressed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your life's not so bad. You live in Oregon, for Christ's sake. That's nice.
What part of Oregon? Portland?
Yeah, close to Portland.
Close to Portland. Are your parents together?
Are you Russian?
No, my parents aren't together. My dad's in Iraq or something, but I don't really care.
What's he doing? Is he in the military?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you don't care about him.
No.
But is your mom keeping it together?
Mm-hmm.
All right. She loves you, right?
Yeah.
All right. Don't give her such a hard time.
I try not to.
Yeah. Try harder. All right. And make some friends. Some good friends.
Okay.
All right. Look, listen, everybody. Have some friends.
Abundanza.
And abundanza. That just means abundance. I'd be happy.
That's your
but abundance, yes, an abundance of friends, abundance of food. Have your friends. I got to tell you, I had a birthday. My birthday, because of my friends, have been great. My family's, you know, worthless. I don't get a present from any of those deadbeats. They do. They'll put a phone call in, but you know, in years past and whatever, my sister's birthday was in the beginning of May. Mine was the end of May. We just combined them to make one crappy party in June. But friends, oh boy. I mean, the gifts.
Karaoke.
I mean, I don't even get gifts. I mean, I haven't, my family doesn't give gifts. I get my gifts from my, well, not true. But I get my, you know, not partners. I get gifts from my friends, but we had the agreement, Drew. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's cool. But, The stuff you get, the food, the parties, I mean, it's amazing. Hang out with some good people. Get with some good people.
Adam's making a case for making sure all your friends are wealthy. That's basically what he's
saying. I hope I didn't sound like it was anything else.
Yeah, I know it didn't. Don't worry.
All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's my partner, Dr. Drew. 7:22 after 7 o'clock. You're listening to Loveline, and I'll tell you, we're going to do our darndest to give out some sage advice over the next 13 minutes or so. What do you say, Drew?
Sounds good, Ace.
You ready to hop back on the phone?
Let's go.
Remember, 2 for Tuesday. September's coming up. We're in Rocktober. And we should have the party van making a stop by you. I think they're out there with the prize patrol as we speak. We should check in with those guys. So you get yourself some swag. You know what I'm saying? We got some tickets coming up, giving away up there. 7:23 after 7 o'clock. Giving away some Mario Speedwagon tickets. They're going to be at the amphitheater coming up. So if you see the party van, well, make sure you got your bumper sticker on. You got that bumper sticker on. And party van spots you out there. You're going to get Speedwagon tickets, all right? All right, so let's review. 7:22 after 7 o'clock. Rocktober. September's coming up. We got a rock block coming up at the end of the hour. It's 2 for Tuesday. And if the party patrol spots you with the bumper sticker, you're getting wagon tickets. Yes, Drew?
Mm-hmm.
All right. We got some weather and sports coming up. We're going to hop back on the phones right now so we're going to help those kids, right?
Fair enough.
Erica?
Yes.
You're 20? Hey, what's happening?
Well, Basically, like, I don't know, for me, I've always had, you know, a very sexual, very good sexual appetite, you know, and I'm with my fiancé now.
Passionate,
we've been
passionate
together
woman.
For about... You're a passionate woman.
Exactly, you know, and we've been together for about a year, and, you know, at first it was awesome, you know, he could keep up with me, and it was great. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now, you know, it's kind of, you know, it's not fizzling, but, you know, it's kind of, you know, we're not as passionate as we were, and and I'm just kind of wondering, you know, is it normal? Like, I mean, I'm horny all the time. You know, I masturbate while he's sleeping next to me, and it's
really
I don't know.
Now, by the way, do you do it to sort of send a message to him?
Sometimes, but not
a little bit, because a guy would not do it unless he was trying to send a message.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he's worried about getting busted.
Getting caught, yeah.
And right, he doesn't wake up during this?
Sometimes, but anymore, it's like he's so used to it now that he's just like, sometimes he wakes up and he's like, knock it off. Or sometimes he wakes up and he's like, all right, you know.
Drew almost took a swing. Drew took a swing in the air. He's that passionate.
Huh?
Yet, no, this would not fly at the Pinsky household, I'll tell you that right now. How often do you guys do it?
It's probably, you know, 5-6 times a week. Ooh. You know, it's pretty healthy, but, you know, I can orgasm probably 2-3 times during sex, and then sometimes after sex when he's sleeping, I get horny again.
All right.
I mean, I don't know.
Quiet. Any abuse in your past?
Excuse me?
Any abuse in your past?
No, none at all.
Everything's good?
Just gonna, I didn't lose my virginity until I was like 17.
All right.
You know,
any manic depression in your family?
No, none at all. Mm-hmm. I have a very happy family.
Mm-hmm. The relationship is good with your boyfriend?
Oh, it's wonderful. You know, we're planning on getting married and everything.
All right. And you're, are you a student?
I'm a student. I'm taking a year off right now. I'm kind of traveling the country with him.
Looking for vibrators? Wow.
Catching up on orgasms.
You two are traveling the country?
Yeah, we're in Utah right now, and we're going back. I'm from Alaska.
Wow.
So we're heading up there tomorrow, actually.
Wow. And what do you got, just SUV? You're just driving around and camping and stuff?
Yeah, basically. Yep.
Nice.
We were here in Utah for a while, and then we're just on our way back tomorrow.
So. All right, baby doll. Well, look.
Why do you go from Alaska to Utah?
First we went to San Francisco, and it was just, we followed his work wherever there was work.
What kind of work does he do?
Sells drugs.
He's a union iron worker.
Oh.
So he just kind of follows the work.
Alcoholic.
Iron worker?
India.
Metal.
Yeah. Hey.
Yeah.
Is he an alcoholic, this guy?
No. No. Right.
And I understand the part. You go, so he gets work at some hotel they're building for 4 months, and you stay in a motel, or how's that work?
Well, we've been here in Utah for since December, and we got an apartment for, I guess, you know, a few months. And then, you know, we just kind of do that. And when we were in San Francisco, the company he was working for put us up in a house.
Good, you're Mormon? Good money, right? He's getting like $40 an hour, right?
Yeah.
You Mormon?
30, no, I'm not Mormon.
Okay.
1,000%.
No.
All right. So he's getting about $30 an hour?
Yeah.
That's good money.
Yeah.
All right. All right, so here's the thing. You're fine.
Yeah,
you're happy.
Fine.
You got a motor. You got a fast motor.
Yeah.
Everything, you can get a little compulsive with everything.
Yeah.
You can get out.
You can get momentum.
You get momentum with food, with exercise, even like good things and stuff.
True.
You kind of, things have their own momentum sometimes. And when you
think of some kinds of people.
And when you sit around and your mantra is like, I'm horny, or I'm hungry, things can spin out.
It's like trying not to diet when you're trying to lose weight.
Yeah, or not to smoke
or
whatever.
Yeah.
The point is to stop thinking about it. You got a guy's got a pretty good motor
that
in him too.
All right, yeah.
Maybe you should stop trying to figure out ways to get him to do it 10 times a week and
just slow
see
down
about picking up a hobby.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not a check.
Yeah. Gina?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yeah.
What's happening?
Okay, I'm having a major problem and well, yeah, that sort of. Thing is, I turn into like a slip and slide completely. before it even gets in me, which makes it really hard being that, you know, the feeling, the not so much friction, you know?
Right.
I was wondering, is there anything I could do? I heard, like, I could take, like, what's that? Whenever you have a runny nose, medication.
Decongesting, like, kind of thing.
Uh-huh, dry up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I do? I take the Vaseline, I spread all over the door, and then I roll it in kitty litter. So it becomes sort of a pecan log.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll hang on for a few strokes, and I get some real good friction going on with that stuff. Gina?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, what about it, Drew? What can... You can...
Wear a condom.
Oh, wearing a condom. And who wants to wear
a
condom?
I've tried everything, but it's just...
You know what you could do, too, is you could just physically have, like, a little dish towel down there that, you know, every fourth or fifth stroke, you know, just, you know, wipe it down.
Really? There's nothing I could take?
Well, what about something to dry?
Not that I'm aware of.
What about, there are pills?
Progesterone. Certain kinds of birth control pills would dry it out a bit.
What are those pills I take so I stop sweating?
I don't think that would do it.
Really?
Progesterone, for some women, dries them out. So you could talk to your doctor about that.
Okay. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. A little fart down there.
Nice.
More cool.
Good times.
All right. Well, God bless you for tuning in. And
Chief thanks you.
Yeah. Hey, I want to thank Engineer Anderson. I want to thank Producer Ann, Junior Producer Lauren. I want to thank Engineer Chris, Phone Screener Brian.
Whoa!
And not sure who else was over there. Was Brian. Anyway.
Nobody.
Oh, nobody? Thought I heard a chick. Remember, there was this Tara, don't call me
There's
Tom.
Always chicks in here.
Oh, cool. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. Haneke!
More coffee.
Haneke!
Chris, go. Go. Come on.
Yeah!
Chris, come on.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.